curious how you could help improve the health and well-being of your staff? Get insights, cost savings opportunities, and disease prevention at your fingertips with Springbuck Health Data Analytics. Learn more at springbuck.com.
Damon, Bailey, Sammy, Terry, Bobby, Plump, Danson, Harry, Tony, George, Happy Hour, Carnegie, in the Tower, Marvin, Johnson, Vince, Ganey, Babyface, Calvert, Chaney, Big Dog, Reggie Miller, Jeff Gordon, Billy Keller, Little Al, back and down, Mario is slowing down.
Indiana, Lord, I love it. Everybody knows Indiana rocks.
Peyton Manning, Andrew James, Final Four, Penn and Games,
well, if there was ever a broadcast voice that embodies the Hoosier spirit, it may have come from Indianapolis Southsider Jimmy Mad Dog Mattis, a popular fixture on Radio Powerhouse Q95.
We had some chickens, no eggs were they laid. True story. We had some chickens, no eggs were they laid.
What you gonna do when the beer runs out? What you gonna do when the beer runs out?
Shoot me when the beer runs out.
Mad Dog spent nearly a quarter of a century singing, talking, laughing, and sharing his humor with listeners in his hometown. You haven't heard him on Afternoon Drive in more than 10 years, but he didn't stray far from his Indianapolis roots. What's Jimmy Mad Dog Mattis up to now? Find out on this edition of the Business and Beyond podcast. Hello and welcome to the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. I'm Gary Dick. Jimmy Mattis was born and raised on the Indianapolis South Side. He attended Holy Name Catholic School in Beech Grove, graduated Roncalli High School, and earned a degree in telecommunications from Indiana University. He spent nearly 25 years behind the mic at Q95. You probably heard Mad Dog on the Bob and Tom Show, or when you were heading home from work during radio's prime 3 to 7 p.m. drive time slot. But it all ended abruptly in 2010. Mattis's contract would not be renewed. So he went to work heaving boxes on the overnight shift at FedEx, eventually making his way back to radio in sales before the horseshoe came calling in 2011. Mattis took a job with the Indianapolis Colts, where he remains today serving as corporate partnership manager. And I'm very pleased to be joined on the podcast this week by Indianapolis's own, the pride of the South Side, Jimmy Mad Dog Mattis. Dog, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's good to be here. It's good to see you. It's been a while.
I know. It has been far too long. I mean, we've known each other for a long time. And the first question I have, and my executive producer, Teresa Ditton, mentioned it. And I said, that's an obvious one. I've known you for a lot of years. Where did your nickname, where did Mad Dog come from?
Well, it was going to be my professional wrestler name.
Is that and, right?
Yeah. And we had a ring in our backyard when I was growing up. And at the time, I weighed 103 pounds, and I was dreaming of big time. I went to virtually every wrestling match in Indianapolis at the old convention center and the Coliseum.
Yeah.
For years. The first paper I ever wrote was Blood, Brawn, and Beauty, the History of Professional Wrestling. That and I bet you awesome. I turned that paper in at least 7 times over the next 8 years.
I love that story. So you really had dreams, real serious dreams of becoming a professional wrestler.
I just loved it, right? I never really thought I could do it. I was a dinky guy, right, at the time, but I loved it. We went to every match, me and Bubby Green.
What? Now you said you had a ring in the backyard. Did you have matches?
Yeah, we just made it ourselves, right? It was just in the backyard. We put some sticks in there, put some ropes around it, and had wrestling matches.
Hey, what, you growing up on the South Side, you are a true true blue Southsider, right? I'll bet you had a great childhood.
I did. I had a fabulous childhood. Growing up in Beech Grove, virtually everybody was the same, right? We lived in the same size houses. We all had one phone on the kitchen wall, right? We had two or three bedrooms with a bunch of kids in there. Yeah, one car for most at least my early life.
Yeah.
Dad would ride the bus downtown. So yeah, but he'd get on your bike at the first part of the day and ride all over the place. Usually played baseball virtually every day.
Yeah.
With a bunch of guys. And I had a great childhood.
I mean, those are simple. I mean, I think back to my childhood. I had three sisters and we had one bathroom. So we had a family of a total of six and had one bathroom. And, you know, it was what it was. I mean, nowadays, you know, you have multiple bathrooms but they were fun times. I mean, you know, really.
They were family. You just had to make sure you beat Dad in there. You know, you could follow anybody else.
Exactly. But,
we're the same way. And really, truly, because of that, it's probably all I ever really, truly wanted to be. Was a dad.
Yeah.
It was to have that same sort of deal.
That's very cool. So you are a dad. Five boys? You have five boys?
I have five sons, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we had, Willie is my oldest, who's 34. And then Andy's 32. Mickey's 30. And then the twins came 6 years later because they were Kathy's last shot at a girl.
Uh-huh.
Turned out to be twin boys.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're about to become a grandpa, I understand.
I am. Got one on the way coming up in 22. And I couldn't be happier.
I bet you can't wait.
Can't wait.
Hey, you know, everybody knows you from the radio. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what are you up to now? I mean, I say now. I mean, you've been doing this for quite a while. Your gig with the Colts.
Yeah, I'm in corporate partnerships. And, man, you know, if you can go from Q95 to the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
Right? God takes care of the stupid people. I mean, that's how that happened. I just couldn't be more fortunate. And, you know, the 20, almost 25 years on the air at Q gave me a pretty good name recognition, obviously, which helped me get appointments. And once you got appointments, then, you know, we're just making a deal at that point in time.
Yeah. You seem to me to be a natural for sales. I mean, you got a great personality. You say you got the name recognition. That certainly helps a big deal. Was it kind of somewhat of a natural transition from on air to selling?
Well, it natural in the way that I never had much of a problem conversing with people, mm-hmm. right? But sales is more listening than talking. Mm-hmm. It's more listening to what their needs are, what their thoughts are, what they've been dreaming of, and then try to figure out how to help.
Yeah. Yeah. What the Colts, you know, you mentioned Q95 and the Indianapolis Colts, two iconic entities in Indianapolis. What's it been like working for the Colts?
Well, I've actually had an association with the Colts since about 88 in some form or fashion because of the radio. I did either pregame radio,
post-game radio.
A lot of things over here for three seasons back at the Dome. I rode the Harley out of the tunnel that brought the team out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No kidding.
That was me back there. And well, one of the first times I really talked to you, we played a football game after a Colts game.
Yes.
And that, right. Remember that?
It was a canned food drive that Jack Reinhart from Channel 6 organized, and it was a canned food drive, so it was a nice thing. But the big thing was we wanted to play football in the Dome.
We did, and it was cool. But that was back when Mark Patrick was around and all kinds of stuff. That's how long ago it was. But that's why I remember doing that, because I remember you were pretty good.
Well, I don't know about that, but it was fun. I do remember that very well. I'm glad you remembered as well. Hey, think back to the Q95 days, Doug. I mean, what a ride at that station, and such a powerhouse. I know there's so many different ways I can go with this, I guess, but I just what as you think back on that, on your tenure there, nearly a quarter of a century, what's your favorite memory or favorite memories of that time?
So it was really a time when like everything happened at the right time, right? B&T, Bob and Tom, they got here in 83, Colts in 84. I got with them in 85. Downtown was exploding with the sports bar and Ike and Jonesy's and all that.
Yep.
And they had gotten so popular that if you weren't listening to the Bob and Tom show, you didn't know what your buddies were talking about the rest of the day, right?
Right.
And if they said, we're going to hang out at this place tonight at 6 o'clock, that place was going to be packed. So just showing up at those places but the most fun for me was after the show, we'd usually go out to lunch somewhere close and write bits, right? Try to crack each other up. And a lot of the great songs and jokes and that sort of thing that those guys did are on the back at placemats that you're, you know, stealing and writing on the back of and then go back and record it. But, you know, I was just really lucky. I was at the Downtown Comedy Connection in 85, and Bob just happened to come in, see a show. He thought I was funny, and he brought Tom in on Saturday, and they asked me to do their show on Thursday. 2 or 3 weeks later, they offered me a job.
Wow.
I didn't apply there, didn't send them a tape, just in right place, right time with the right stuff.
So they knew they liked you right off the bat.
Well, I think I was an acquired taste to Tom, but me and Bob got along very quickly.
What, you know, back to what you're talking about after the show and writing those bits, it was so funny, so creative. What were those lunches like after the show and putting those things together?
Well, I think what, even during the show, it was almost like you're just showing up in your buddy's basement and you're getting ready to play poker and everybody's just telling jokes, trying to crack the other guy up. Yeah. By 10 minutes into the show, you forget you're on the radio. You're just trying to make the room laugh, right?
Yeah.
And then since there's so many funny guys there, somebody else is going to have the next line, right?
Yep.
And then somebody else is going to have another line. And somebody's thinking about that. And that's, I think a lot of times people don't understand that people that are funny, that do what they do, you really have to be a good listener because you're trying to pick up on what you can make fun of next.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you really have to be on your toes to be listening to come up with that next line.
What was it like? I used to think about you guys because you were so funny for so long, so consistently. And I used to think, man, that's got to be tough day in, day out, week in, week out to do it. Did it ever get to be a grind and, what we're going to do today?
Well, everything's a job at some point in time, but normally not on the air. Right.
Uh-huh.
I think it was like, I mean, you played ball. It's like practices weren't always fun.
Right.
But boy, the game was.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so and when we got on the air, that was the game. But like anything else, you know, we all had families and lives and that sort of thing. So you're trying to keep everybody happy. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like anything else. There's going to be some things, but not when you got on the air.
Did it surprise, things started to take off? Because that show obviously did take off in a big way. Did it surprise you? Or what were you thinking? Is this, you know, like a snowball going downhill, man? It seemed to pick up momentum and such a following, such a huge following.
I think like most things, like most bands, we were just doing it because it was fun to do and they were writing us a check to do it. And we got to do a lot of cool things
because
of it. I don't think, or at least I never got a great deal of thought. I never realized that life was this long because I was just worried about Saturday, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it was the same thing for most of us when we were on the air. You know, now when you got home, you had family and you had to get to this game or you're coaching this team and that sort of thing. But I think that's what made it fun.
Yeah. People always, and I'm sure they ask you, or they want to ask you about others on the team. Well, give me your take, maybe a couple sentences on Bob as an example. You say
Bob and I were the closest. We were a lot alike. Shared a lot of the same personality traits. I still to this day, I got to spend a weekend with him a while ago, a month ago or so. We went to Cincinnati when they were inducting Marty Brenneman into the Reds Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
And so we got to spend the weekend with Marty, and I got to spend the weekend with Bob. And he's just, he's exactly how you would picture him, right? He's just, he likes to laugh.
Yep.
But it's not fake laughter. He just likes to laugh. So if it's funny, you got it. He's in. Chick might be the best pure radio guy I ever met. I mean, Chick's got the voice. He's got the delivery. He's got a great wit. He doesn't mind making fun of himself or taking it when others are dishing it.
Right.
And Christy, she's just like the glue, right? I mean, she's there. We'll go on a million different tangents, or they'll go on a million different tangents. And then when that's been exhausted, Christy better have a story, another topic, right? And she always does. She always does. And Christy is just tremendous. And then Tom, nobody works harder than Tom. Nobody cares more than Tom.
He's still at it,
He isn't. Dude, that show is still... It's still one of the best shows in the country. It just still is. And but Tom is the guy that, right, the driving force. The guy's always thinking about what's next and what can we do and that sort of thing. And you know, that's hard for that group to be together for so long. That's not an easy thing to do. And boy, they've done it well.
Yeah. How about my buddy Mark Patrick? He was in the promotions department at Channel 6 when I started at Channel 6. So that's, you know, how I got to know Mark, and he just took off from there. He was doing creative stuff at Channel 6, and then he just, you know, went from there, Q95, Channel, all the different things he did.
Well, he's absolutely talented, as you well know, right? There's not much he couldn't do.
Yeah.
He can play the straight guy. He could be the funny guy. He would go impersonations. There wasn't much that he couldn't do. Host TV shows.
Yeah.
Obviously do the sports and on a big level and talk all sports. And his memory when it came to sports trivia is remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah. Does the crew kind of keep in touch a little bit?
Not closely in touch, or at least not me. I mean, it's the same sort of deal. You know, I mean, I get 5 kids. I get this full-time job. I got a lot of other things. And some of my best friends I don't talk to for a couple months. And they're my best friends, right?
Yeah.
But when we get together, it's as good as it can be.
Outstanding. Well, hey, we've got much more with Jimmy Mad Dog Matus. Talk a little bit more Q95 and maybe what's next as well. That's when the Business and Beyond podcast returns. Stay with us.
Imagine a world where every healthcare and benefits program decision is backed and guided by data. Springbuck is the health data analytics solution that equips you with the insights and expertise you need to sharpen your benefits strategy, advance employee health, and contain costs. Springbuck, a world of actionable health intelligence insight at your fingertips. Visit springbuck.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. My guest this week, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, the longtime radio icon in Indianapolis, now executive with the Indianapolis Colts. And Dog, we talked about your younger years growing up in Beech Grove and the fun you had. Sports were big. Sports were important to you, right? You played a lot of sports.
Oh, yeah. Just like everybody our age, you played everything, right? Yeah. Whatever season, because there really wasn't a lot of summer. You weren't getting ready for another sport. You were playing baseball. You know, and in the fall, you were playing football. You weren't getting ready for basketball. Basketball started when football was over, and usually the day after. But, my dad coached youth football for Holy Name in Beech Grove for 20-plus years. You know, he only had the 2 boys, but he coached before and after and coached baseball and all that. So yeah, we played everything. Sports was mammoth. But like everybody else, I mean, weren't at home playing video games.
That's right.
That's right. There wasn't much at the house unless you had a ping pong table.
That's exactly right. And we were talking off air here a moment ago. You were a what, 103-pound guard at Roncalli?
103-pound freshman, got to play some guard. Obviously, we pulled a lot. And
utilize your quickness, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. But yeah, and then I played baseball as well, but then stopped football after freshman year and just played baseball.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, you mentioned that a moment ago, but these days, you know, everything's specialized and, you know, it's year-round baseball and it's year-round basketball and that era when you could play, you know, three sports, you know, season up. Do you think there's something missing? Kids are missing out by not being able to experience, you know, more than one sport?
I don't know, Gary. I don't know what the right answer is there, right? Because I just always felt this. If the son or daughter enjoys what they're doing and they're telling you they want to play one sport year round, then I think that's okay. And if you're around people, I mean, when we were drafting little league teams, once you got past the pitcher and the shortstop, you were just drafting families that you wanted to hang around with for the rest of the summer, right?
Yeah. Or a team mom, you know, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Or somebody had a big backyard, whatever that's that right. would be, or a pool, you know. But I think I was thinking about this today because your son and my oldest son are the same age. And Willie went to Wabash, which Bob went to DePaul. And Willie was a good player, but not a great player. But if he wouldn't have got a letter from the basketball coach at Wabash, he would have never looked at Wabash. And Wabash turned out to be the perfect school for him.
Yep.
So sport worked for him, but it wasn't like he was going to get a free ride or play on Sundays or anything like that. But he liked sport. He got decent at it and had an opportunity, and it led him to what turned out to be the best place for him to get his college education.
And I think that's a great example that it's about more than Division I. Division I's great, but boy, there are such great stories throughout college athletics that that set kids up for life.
It's funny because after freshman year, Willie calls me from Wabash and he said, "Dad, I got a problem." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, I got a chance to go study at the World Bank in Germany."
Oh my God.
And I said, So what's the problem? He said, "Well, it's in the spring during baseball season."
Ah, yeah.
And I said, "Willie, the Yankees aren't calling. You know, if I were you, I'd get to Germany."
Yeah.
And he went. And I said, "Plus, you come back and you want to play next year, they'll welcome you back."
Yeah.
Wabash, right? But he came back and he said, "I didn't miss it as much as I thought I would." And so he didn't play anymore.
Interesting. Yeah. What? How about you? So, Doug, you went to IU, right? So
I
went
did.
To big school. How was that? Was always going to be IU? Was that where you were headed, Brian?
Yeah, quite frankly, if I would have gone on at Lilly or Allison or at the time Indiana Bell, I wouldn't have wanted to go to college.
Go to college,
but my father was, "You're going to college and you're paying for it,"
uh-huh.
right? So, I mean, it wasn't much different than a lot of my buddies. So, but my dad went to IU. My brother went to IU. Virtually all of my family, 3 of the 5 boys went to IU. Willie went to Wabash. Sammy went to that college in West Lafayette. And he just graduated from Purdue last year and doing well. But the funny part of that is, so everybody's IU in my family, right?
Right.
So Sammy finally gets enough guts to tell me he's going to go to Purdue. And he said, "Dad, it's official." He said, "We're a house divided." I said, "Sammy, you haven't been paying attention. We're house subtracted. I'm going to miss you." You know, but it's great. Give and take. It's fun.
That is good. And so you pay for your college education?
I did. So same sort of deal. After freshman year, I decided to not play football anymore and just play baseball, right? Well, I was worried about telling my dad that because he was this longtime football coach. I told my dad he had no issues. I had no problem, Jimmy. But as soon as I told my mom, she said, "Well, you're not sitting around the house." She called the next day. She had me a job at Jim Huser Standard in Beech Grove the very next day.
the next day.
And so I actually worked 7 to 7 every Saturday and Sunday, and then picked up the other 14, 15 hours during the week. So I was working 40 hours a week when I was a sophomore in high school.
Wow. So that, and that work ethic, I know you're a hard worker. I think that instilled, I'm sure, that work ethic that still probably drives you today.
You know, it's just a hustle. It's like what you did, right? You had this, you got this career. Everybody expects it to look like this, yep. Right? But then you found your niche and you went for it and you built something. And yep. And really, that was just keeping eyes wide open and being willing to hustle. Mm-hmm. And that's really, I don't know that it's hard work as much as it is just being aware of opportunities.
Yeah. Well, and what I think, and I didn't know this until I read it, you left Q95, you had a non-compete, and you went to work at FedEx, right?
I did. 5 sons, no insurance, Gary.
Yep.
You know, and so it was funny. So I'm working at FedEx, and the very first night I'm there, you know, I'm pretty good size now. So they put me out of the line so I could handle it. Guys are driving by and they're pointing. And they're looking and they're pointing. I'm actually working at FedEx after I'd gotten fired from Q95, signing autographs while I'm loading the planes. But I'll tell you what was really cool. It was really cool for the kids to see their dad getting ready to go to work at midnight. Because they didn't see when you and I started.
Right.
They didn't see the struggle when you were trying to make it. Yep. They've pretty much just seen the success.
Yeah.
And so it's actually probably a pretty good lesson for them to learn.
Yeah. That's a great story. The departure at Q95, what was that like?
Well, we were moving in different directions.
Yeah.
I wanted to go into the building and they wanted me to leave the building. You know, but really it had changed. I was, when I got there, we were entertaining, right? We were turning the mic on and we were trying to make people laugh until we ran out and then we'd play a song. And but at the end it was shut up and play the music. And by that time I was making pretty good amount of money, and you've seen it happen a lot.
Oh, in sure. Business.
And it was
a
just,
lot. Yeah.
So it ended, but look, I had 24 and a half solid years. There
Which is absolutely
no reason for me to be bitter about a thing.
Yeah.
What an opportunity I had.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, you landed the Colts, and what an opportunity that has been. That's, I'm sure, your love of sports, your love of Indianapolis. You've had the relationship, obviously, with the Colts for a long time, but it would seem that's kind of a perfect storm, if you will, for where you're at now.
Well, I lucked out because after the no compete, I actually ended up at Emmis at 1070 Fan, and got to sell. Charlie Morgan gave me an opportunity there, and Eric Wonenberg kind of taught me how to do things, you know. And so I was there, I don't know, a little bit less than a year, I guess. But because they had a relationship with the Colts as the flagship station, the Colts were paying attention that things were going pretty well in the radio sales.
Yeah.
And so that's why I got the opportunity over here. And obviously, I did have some relationships over here already.
As you look going forward, I mean, you got a lot going on with the Colts and different things you're doing. What's next for Jimmy Mad Dog Matus? Have you thought that much about it? You know, what's next? I know grandfatherhood is coming up, which is probably pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know what? It's 64, and at some point in time, I'll retire from a job, right? But not necessarily retiring from getting out and doing things.
Right.
And I'm kind of looking forward to that. There's some people I'd like to help do some things where money doesn't have to be involved, right? So, and obviously traveling, not all the kids are at home. So that'll probably take some more time. And quite frankly, you know this too, I owe some time to my wife.
Yeah.
I've been out doing this stuff for a long time, and she's had to take the back seat and raise the kids and do all that. And so I owe her a little bit too.
Yeah. Well, Dog, you are a true Hoosier gem. You really are. You're a great guy, and always fun to be around. This has been a fun conversation for me to have, and I really appreciate you taking the time.
Dude, I couldn't be happier for what you've built too. I watched you from afar, and I think we both kind of paralleled, went down different roads, but just two guys that were out hustling and figured out a way, right?
That's exactly right. Jimmy Mad Dog made us a radio icon, a great Hoosier, and a great guest on the podcast this week. So, Dog, thanks for joining us. And thank you for joining us on this edition of the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. It is a weekly conversation with achievers in business, sports, entertainment, and beyond. And you can download any and all of our episodes. All you have to do is go to insideindianabusiness.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm Gary Dick. We'll see you next time.